Welcome to Sports Mad Rez's This Week in Review podcast, where we highlight the recent news in sports medicine research. While the podcast has been quiet during the holidays, our main website has continued to release posts. The first post discussed a study that found that 43% of NCAA institutions fully complied with concussion legislation for pre-participation assessments, and roughly 1 in 3 institutions lacked a return-to-learn policy. Many schools need to implement a balanced assessment into pre-participation exams, as well as a return-to-learn policy during concussion management. We also posted during this break a list of our most popular posts of 2015 that covered an array of topics from kinesiotaping to special tests for the hip. Our third post described a study where the authors found that athletes who obtained less than 5 hours of sleep performed worse on computerized neurocognitive testing compared with those who slept more. We also announced the release of a consensus statement on selected issues in injury and illness prevention and the team physician. Finally, we had a very popular post that described a study where the authors reported that chronic traumatic encephalopathy, or CTE, pathology was only detected among individuals with documented participation in contact sports. Now, this study has important implications for the public health given the number of people that participate in contact sports. The results of this study suggested that individuals that participate in contact sports are at a higher risk for having CTE compared to those that do not participate in contact sports. It was interesting to note that the authors did not observe any CTE pathologies in the control group, including those that had a previous history of head trauma. This suggests that CTE may be related to repetitive impacts, and a single blow is not likely going to initiate CTE. Furthermore, the authors did not find any genetic association to CTE, but they also found no clinical or demographic differences between those with and without CTE that participated in contact sports. Hence, genetic association to CTE should not be discounted. This research should be continued in a larger prospective cohort that includes more females and other races due to the current cohort of contact sport cases were predominantly white males. Furthermore, future studies should try to recruit individuals that are reflective of the general population of athletes and non-athletes, rather than relying on a brain bank that focuses on neurodegenerative diseases. This will help clarify the true risk of CTE among athletes in contact sports. It will also be interesting to see future research verify that individuals who do the assessments are unaware which specimens came from athletes and non-athletes. In the meantime, medical professionals need to be aware of these findings and educate patients on the possible long-term consequences of repetitive head impacts during contact sport participation. Now, don't forget that we also share extra material on social media. For example, this past week, our social media post included a news article that described the study that found that a novel helmetless tackling training program was effective in reducing head impacts by 28% in just one season. And if you're an athletic trainer who's looking to get an early start with evidence-based practice CEUs, then please check out our 4 online courses available through Human Kinetics website. And remember, you can always follow us on Twitter, Facebook, Google+, or LinkedIn. We'll be back next week with more sports medicine research, and we hope to have some more guests in the near future. Until then, have a fun one.